And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why the Son of Man? The God who is real, the living God, the one who is outside of the mind of man, said that the consequence of violating his will is death. There's no way around that. If God tolerated a violation of his will and did not judge it with absolute banishment from his presence and from all that is good, he would be either weak or insincere about his rejection of evil. Such a God would be exposed as made up by mere men, a figment of man's imagination. No, the real God is the one who is white hot in his commitment to punish every single thought, every single action, every single emotion that is inconsistent with his holy character. The first man was guilty of such a crime against the holy triune God. Adam and all his descendants were sentenced then to spiritual, physical, and eternal death. The God who defines justice is also the God whose relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit defines love. And he made a way for both his love and his justice to be satisfied. The sending of God the Son to be the Son of Man in order to rescue men and women from the judgment they deserved. This Savior, this rescuer of sinners, had to be the Son of God, or he would have to suffer for eternity and never be able to say, "It is finished." But he also had to be the Son of Man in order to take the punishment in the place of sinful man. No other creature could substitute for man in experiencing the full justice of God the Father. Angels couldn't because they can't die. They don't have bodies. Animals couldn't because they're not made in God's image. They're not equal to man in their dignity. The Son of God had to be the Son of Man, a real man born of a real woman in order to bear the sin and its consequence for men and women. The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. "Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself partook of the same things. He had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation or payment for the sins of the people." But for a man to be in the presence of the righteous, holy God, he has to be righteous and holy himself. The first Adam became unrighteous and unholy because of his disobedience. He could never recover it. It was gone forever. Jesus, the second Adam, lived a righteous and holy life. As the Son of Man, he could substitute his righteousness for the unrighteousness of sinful man. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus had to be the Son of Man in order to be the second Adam, so his perfect obedience as man could be credited to men and women in place of their disobedience. Read that, our disobedience. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5, For as by the one man's disobedience, the first Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, that would be Christ, the many will be made righteous. And in Romans 8, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus apparently loved this title, Son of Man, because he called himself that more than it's used anywhere else. He called himself that more than 70 times in the Gospels. He emphasized his identity with those men and women he came to save. But he also knew that title from the prophet Daniel referred to the majestic, exalted ruler who would alter the destiny of God's people forever. He said these kinds of things about himself. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. The Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. That's what Jesus said about himself. The Jews of Jesus' day knew that in calling himself the Son of Man, he was claiming to be the Messiah and the Son of God himself. Because Jesus was the Son of God, he could take the eternal punishment for many in a moment of human time. Because Jesus was the Son of Man, he could take on himself the sin of many and obey God the Father perfectly, which the first Adam failed to do. Because Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man, he rescued his people from their sins and gave them eternal life, eternal joy with him. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter about the resurrection. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just, listen to this, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. It's really astonishing. John says it this way, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Because he is the Son of Man, the redeemed will be like him as glorified humanity. I don't know what that looks like, but it sounds very good.